If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we ask the question this morning, is Christ the Lord of your life? Is Christ the Lord of your life? You know, it's often been said that, or people have often said, the Lord is my Savior. And we certainly believe that, and we certainly trust in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But over and beyond that, you know, you can say that Christ is my Savior, but is He your Lord? Is He the Lord of your life? Can people out in the community see the Lord Jesus Christ in you, in your walk? You know, as Jeanette brought the message, the children's message this morning, it's a wonderful illustration that each and every one of us are a tool that God has plans for. Tools just don't sit around aren't intended just to sit around the box. Tools are supposed to be used, and each and every one of us is a tool that the Lord Jesus Christ can use each and every day. In Luke chapter 6, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to those that have gathered around. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Let me ask a question this morning. How many of us call the Lord our Lord? How many of us this morning would call the Lord our Lord? Let me see the show of hands. Let me see a show of hands. Well, I would trust that every one of us would call the Lord our Lord. But Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we have the opportunity to fellowship in your word, as we have an opportunity to share in your word, Lord, I pray this morning that each and every one of us in this sanctuary know you as the Lord of our life, not just as our Savior, Father, but the Lord of our every day, Father. We just ask your blessing upon those that have come this way, Father, and just help us, Father, as we share in this portion of Scripture, that those who have come that may find their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ merely on a Sunday morning relationship, today, Father, as they leave this house, they might realize that the most important work for the Christian is not so much inside the doors of the church, but outside the doors of the church. Father, every day we would want that others would see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. That, Father, as they would see our activity, that our activities would bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, this morning as we ask that question, is God the Lord of your life? I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to each heart that's here this morning. And, Lord, if we're walking adrift from thee, We pray that today we'll ask forgiveness. Today we'll rededicate our hearts to you, Father, and to step out of that dark path, Father, and back on to the path that leads to eternal life. Father, this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray today would be the first day of the rest of their Christian life as they make their commitment. Their personal commitment, ask forgiveness of their sins and open their heart to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to take up abode there. Father, we ask your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so in verse 46, the Lord says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Here in our scripture text this morning, the Lord identifies two types of believers. Both call Jesus Lord, both claim to be His disciple, and both present a testimony of Him to the world. However, one disciple's testimony is true, while the other's testimony is merely lip service. Do you ever find yourself giving lip service about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lip service. For some reason, you're standing around a group of people and they're talking about the Lord, and you begin to talk about the Lord, and you come to realize that what you're sharing about the Lord is not coming from the heart, not coming from the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's just lip service. It's just lip service. You just want to join in and just want to have your say. I tell you, there are many times today that we begin to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and share things about the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit's not even moving us to share. But I don't want to suggest that fellowshipping in the Lord Jesus Christ is not a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's one of the most important things for Christians today. But I'm just saying that sometimes we merely give lip service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we go to prayer. Our prayer is not a sincere prayer. Our prayer sometimes when we bow our heads at the table time. Sometimes we find ourselves going through the same prayer. And I'm sure that the Lord appreciates that prayer, but is that prayer sincere? Are you truly seeking God's face? Sometimes we find ourselves giving lip service in our testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may recall Jesus' parable of the two sons here in Matt. If you will, while we're going to be coming back to Luke chapter 6, turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, and I want to read you the scriptures that are there. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 28. The chief priest and the elders of the church came to Christ demanding to know by what authority he taught and ministered in the temple, and who gave him the authority. And of course, Jesus asked them about the baptism of John. Did it come from above or of men? And they declined to answer him on that particular question, and so he shares this little parable. Verse 28. Jesus says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And the son answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went." And verse 30 says, "He came to the second son and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' but he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do.'" The scribes and the Pharisees were just pretending. They were living a life that was a pretense of religion. Instead of having a personal relationship with God, they served God in pretense, just a pretense, just a masquerading. And yet, so they claim that they know God, but in reality, in actual activity, they demonstrate that they don't know Him at all. In this case, one son merely gave lip service while the other son repented and went to do the work of his master. In this parable, Jesus was speaking of the Jewish elders and priests who only gave lip service worship to the Lord, while the publicans and the sinners, when they heard the word, repented of their waywardness and went to work for Christ, proving their worship was true. So here in our passage this morning, if you'll go back to Luke chapter 6, Christ is speaking to everyone professing to be believers in Him. Verse 47 in Luke chapter 6 says, Jesus says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." I want you to notice the progression here. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So this verse says the true disciple of Christ, what is he like? First, he comes to the Lord Jesus. He comes to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so the true believer must first come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, and verse 37, Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And so the true worshiper will first come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question this morning is, have you come to the Lord Jesus? Have you come to the Lord Jesus? Have you come to the Lord Jesus in such a way as to give your heart to him? Jesus wants you to come to him first. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Secondly, the true believer will hear Christ. Jesus beckons us on many occasions in Scripture to hear, not only to hear, but also to heed His Word. In Matthew 11, verse 15, He says, "He that hears, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In Matthew 13:15, Jesus says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Jesus pressed upon his disciples the importance of hearing and heeding his word. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the scripture, the Lord says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that," what? "Doeth the will of God," or the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The true disciple and believer in Christ will not only hear the word of God, but will be actively living out God's word in his own life. And the true believer, the true worshiper, comes to Christ, he hears Christ, and actively serves the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this personal relationship with Christ, the true disciple becomes a master builder of his life. Jesus tells us what the true believer is like in verse 48. He says, "He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." How about your house this morning? How about your life this morning? What is it founded upon? What is the foundation of your life? What in the world today, you have so many philosophies. In the world today, you have so much entertainment. In the world today, you have so many things that can draw you away from a personal and a walk and a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, that it becomes absolutely imperative that you build your life upon a solid foundation, and that solid foundation is the Lord Jesus. The world wants to rid this. There are movements today that want to rid the Lord Jesus Christ from the hearts of men. And yet we need to be standing firm. We need to have a solid foundation upon which we stand. The true disciple lays the foundation of his life upon the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the rock, the only foundation upon which we can build and structure our lives for any hope of persevering through the present in hope of gaining an eternal future. The Bible says one foundation, other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ. Let me read that again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ." Who's the only foundation for our life? Christ. This is a powerful statement Paul is making. Muhammad is not the foundation for eternal life. Mary is not the foundation for eternal life. Buddha is not the foundation for eternal life. Man's works are not the foundation for eternal life. Christ is our only foundation for eternal life. Paul says, "Other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Christ, though through his death on the cross of Calvary, laid the only foundation. His death, burial, resurrection laid the only foundation for a sure and certain hope of a resurrection to eternal life for all who come to him. And so the true disciple gives his life to Christ. He comes to Christ. The true disciple builds his life around the words of Christ. And the true disciple makes the foundation of his life the Lord Jesus Christ. The true disciple is not exempt from the storms of life. You know, I've heard people talk about they're going through such miserable times, and they say, they say what I need to do is I need to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, I won't experience so much burden and trouble and tribulation in my life. But listen, is that the truth? You draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, does that mean that you're not going to face burdens and temptations and trials and tribulations in life? Not at all. Let me tell you, every Christian ought to know this as a fact, that the very moment that a person gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the devil begins to focus his attention on you. Before you give your life to Christ, the devil has nothing, doesn't bother with you, because you're not going to heaven. You're already going to the place that was built for him, that was created for him and his angels. You're already on that track. But once you turn around and you begin to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the little trials, that's when the little temptations are going to be more powerful. So just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we're exempt from trials and tribulations in life. In fact, even more so, what is the purpose of trials and tribulations in the Christian life? First, it's to help us to grow in our faith. To grow in our faith. And secondly, it's the opportunity to give testimony to the world that everything is not falling apart. Just because we're going through some times, burdens or trials or whatever, physical problems, sickness or whatever, doesn't mean that Christ is still not on the throne. And so the true disciple is not exempt from the storms of life, but the house he has built stands against those storms. Storms of sickness, of sin, of temptation, of suffering, of disappointment, tensions, death, accidents, persecution, abuse, and hospitalization. All of the storms of life can be overcome when we have built our house upon faith in our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the house that is built by the true disciple of Christ. But there's also another builder. The false builder, the false disciple who builds upon a false foundation. Verse 49. Jesus says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You know, you see the word there, stream. Stream. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much in this world, much persecution, much tribulation in this world, for Christians, many Christians, just to give up. But, and those are just little streams. They may just be little streams, just little things. Imagine if the flood comes along, a massive flood. What happens then? For these particular people who are false in their testimony about their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, the stream just destroys their foundation. Anything that happens in their life just destroys all of these false hopes that they've built upon a false foundation. And so here is a man who's living a lie. He has come to church, but not to Christ. He has laid a foundation, but has not dug deep. His foundation is built upon self. There is no true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no true prayer life in his life. There's no word of God laid up in store in the heart or in the mind of his life. There's only a profession of faith, but no action to prove it. And when the storms of life come, his house is carried away because it was not built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was built upon a trust in things that cannot save. In Proverbs 11:28, the Bible says, "He that trusteth in riches shall fall." Wonder how many people over the last couple of weeks trusting in the stock market have fallen. "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool." Proverbs 28:26. In Jeremiah 17:5, Jeremiah said, "Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord." I'd rather put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I've built my foundation upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm nothing without the Lord Jesus. You're nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. As we face the trials and tribulations of the future, I'm not troubled about that. And you shouldn't be troubled as Christians about that. Because your foundation is not upon the things of the world or the leadership of this world. Your trust and your foundation is upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming to provide for us a better world. And by the way, his coming is soon. His coming is imminent. What kind of a house are you living in this morning? Is it built upon faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of misery, what kind of pain, what kind of suffering are you going through this morning? I tell you this, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can cast all of those things upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though you still will go through the suffering, you'll know for a fact that you're not going through that suffering alone. That the Lord Jesus Christ will carry you through every burden. If the foundation of our life is not built upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus this morning, what we can simply do is to ask God to forgive us and to restore us to a right relationship with Him and to begin today to walk with Him. That's what we need to do. The Scripture says if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means this morning that if you're carrying a burden, if you feel like for some reason your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is not what it ought to be, just this morning, right here, right now, right where you sit, or right where we'll be standing here shortly, you can make your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can rededicate your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can ask God for forgiveness of your sins, and He will cleanse you, and you can walk out this door a brand new person in the Lord Jesus. Begin a brand new walk. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not something that the devil's anxious for you to have happen to you. What kind of a burden are you carrying this morning? What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about the election? I tell you, there's one governor coming who outranks every governor that ever sat in a state capital, and that's the Lord Jesus. And boy, is this going to be a brand new world when He comes. I'm looking forward to that. I'm trusting in that. And I'm casting all my cares upon Him because the Scripture says He cares for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for Your Word, Lord. We thank You for the encouragement of Your Word. And Father, today as we see upon the horizon, perfect pictures of the prophetical signs of Your coming. Lord, we would pray that this morning in this sanctuary, if there's one that's not ready to meet the Lord Jesus as He comes, if there's someone here this morning that's not come to the Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that they'll make that commitment. They'll come. They'll receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And Father, as they walk out the door, they can walk out the door knowing that if the rapture of the church should take place today, they'll be gone. We'll all be caught up together with the Lord in the air. The Scripture says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, by grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. So this morning, Father, we're not boasting. We're praising. We're thanking You, Father, for the marvelous work that was done on Calvary's Hill, Father, the marvelous resurrection, Father, that occurred on that first day of the week. And Father, we're rejoicing in the promises of Your soon coming again. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here this morning can rejoice and be trusting in those promises. Father, again, if there's one here that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, never made that personal commitment, I pray this morning that they'll step out and come to an old-fashioned altar and just kneel here where I can lead them just in a moment or two, in just a few moments, lead them to the One who can save them for all eternity. And Father, if there's one here this morning that's walking adrift from Thee, I pray this morning that they'll rededicate their life. And as they leave this sanctuary today, Father, they'll begin a walk that shows a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life outside the church, not just inside the church walls. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would minister in a wonderful way. Father, You get praise, You get honor, and You get glory. But we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.